Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وتبعه ودعا ما بعد We said that with the new Khan after Genghis Khan with Okitai he decided to stop all the wars for a few years to strengthen the position of the Tatars in the lands that they occupied. Then after that, a new leader emerged, Shormazhan. He's the one that was in charge of keeping attacks on the Muslim Ummah. But that, again, did not happen except for once. Everything was fine for the Tatars. What happened to the Muslims? Did they forget about the lands that were occupied? Most likely. Then Shormazhan was commanded to move to the north. If you look at the map, or you don't need to look at the map, instead of going south, going straight. What is straight? When you go to Russia and you keep going straight, what do you have? You have Europe. We said earlier that there was a battle that took place and it led to the loss of the Tatars. And that caused the brother of Jalaluddin to come. Still remember, we're not finished with Jalaluddin. Okay? Jalaluddin was still there. Shormazhan was in charge of eliminating that. And he did it. He crushed all the opposition of the Muslims in that area. The only thing that was left between the Tatars and Al-Khilafah Al-Abbasiyah is what? Ismailis. That strip. Now, Okitai, as I told you, he did not love Muslims and that's why he did not attack them. No, he had strategy. He wanted to come to Baghdad from where? From the north, turning all the way. Just like instead of telling you, where is your ear? And you say like this. That's what he wanted to do, gaining more land and finishing with the Abbasids instead of beginning with them. That was his strategy, Okitai. And Shormazhan was in charge. Now, in the notes, you have it mentioned, but it is a sad story, how the life of Jalaluddin ended. Subhanallah. His father died alone. Jalaluddin also was running from one place to another place, until he had nothing. One peasant in Iraq looked at him and he noticed that he is strange. This man has gold and he has adornments and his dress tells that he is a rich man. So he asked him, who you are? Jalaluddin told him, I am Jalaluddin, the son of Muhammad ibn Khwarizm Shah. So the peasant told him, okay, I will host you. You are the ruler, the son of the ruler. And he liked that. The peasant hosted him in. The moment that Jalaluddin slept, the peasant killed him. And he took all his money. Why? Why? Because Jalaluddin and his father oppressed this man and his family. Again, when you are just, wherever you are, you will find people welcoming you. But when you are tyrant, how do you expect support? This is a Muslim killing a Muslim. Why? He could not help seeing this man who oppressed him and his family face to face and just leave him. Especially that this is a peasant, poor, and this man has lots of gold, so he killed him. And that's how the life of Jalaluddin ended. So anyways, now keep... I stop because now actually the series of incidents is taking place so quickly. And it's good that we will stop at 10 to 4 because there are many things that will happen. Now, we are coming to to the year 634, 635, 636. In those years, and in English, you have well references here. Why? Because they mark the invasion of Europe. The invasion of Europe by the Tatars. By the Tatars. Now, we don't have only Shormajan, but we have also other leaders. You have in page 28. Are you in page 28? In page 28, year 365, we have the invasion of Russia continuing. In Russia, there are many cities. Like what? Moscow, for instance. When did it fall? 365. Who led that? Shormajan? No, another leader, Batu. Remember that name, Batu. Okay? The father of Baraka. That's Batu. He opened Moscow. Then he moved to Kiev. Yeah. Yeah. He's from the Tatar. We are coming to that. But now, we are talking about... Yes. 635. It's mentioned here in the book. They moved to Kiev. These years, 635, 636, all the way until 639. It's actually on the slides. They occupied and invaded Russia. Now, during those years, where were the Muslims? As I told you, now, there are no attacks on the Muslims. All the eastern areas of Muslims, the Muslim state, if you look at the map, the first one in, I think, page 7, where it says Muslim world, all the areas that are occupied now, they are actually greater than what is left. What is left in Asia for Muslims? What is left? Only the Arabian Peninsula with Iraq, with Syria and Turkey. That's it. All other areas were occupied. We have Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, northern Turkey, and the entire region there of the east. All that was occupied by the terrorists. Even in the books of history, we don't find historians like Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. By that time, Ibn al-Athir was dead. As I said, when did Ibn al-Athir, rahimahullah, die? Year 630. But Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, was alive. We don't see anything mentioned until year 649. Why? Because of a reason. In year 649, the coming of Hulaku. But before that, where is the mentioning of the Muslim preparation to reclaim and retake the Muslim land that is given away? Nothing. Nothing is mentioned. Now, the attacks against the European countries. What was the position of the Crusaders? In particular, what was the position of the Pope? At that time, Pope Innocent IV, and he was no innocent at all. Subhanallah, I mean, in that era, in that period of time, all names giving you the opposite meaning exactly. So, this Pope, he sent a delegation again to Qurra Qorm. Remember, at the beginning of the emergence of the Tatars, there was a delegation sent to Genghis Khan to encourage him to occupy the Khilaf al-Abbasi. Now again, that delegation, was it sent to save the European Christians? No. It was again to encourage Occitai to attack the Muslims. How Crusaders allied with the Tatars? How is that? Still at that time, the Pope did not see the Tatars as permanent threats. It's only temporary. Muslims, they are permanent threat. As I told you, when you are disagreeing with the aqeedah, when you say Allah is one, and they say Allah is three, you will never come on common grounds. Never. So, that's what happened. In diplomacy, there are certain ways to negotiate. But with the Tatars, they did not have any diplomatic ways. They were straightforward. So, the delegation of the Pope came offering help. So, Okitai asked, what exactly are you offering to help each other? Okay, what I am getting. The Pope, in between the message, he was inviting him to Christianity. Okitai told the delegation, if the Pope follows me, that's fine. I am the leader. Again, that's how he was talking. He was frank. I am the leader. You are followers. You agree to that, I have no problem. That was a new language in diplomacy. The delegations, they were never used to that. But Okitai was frank. He said, we don't need you. You need us. You want our help? This is what you should do. There is only one leader. I am the leader of the entire world. Again, the same vision of Genghis Khan. That is the same vision. Now, this delegation, did it succeed? No, it did not succeed. It fell miserably. At that time, subhanAllah, something that is amazing, that just shows how much the enemies of Islam will keep attacking Islam. At that time, now this is another class, inshallah, hopefully in the future will be given, the Crusaders, Al-Hamalat al-Salibiyya, campaign after campaign after campaign, Crusaders, coming and attacking. You think that Salah ad-Din, rahimahullah, ended the Crusaders. No. Actually, I still remember, I will never forget, in year 1920, with the French occupation to Syria, when the general came and he put his foot on the grave of Salah ad-Din and said, now the Crusaders ended. SubhanAllah. So at that time, the French king, Louis the Ninth, he was planning to attack Egypt. What about your brethren? What about them in Russia, in Hungary? No. Attack Muslims. They are permanent threat. Those people, the Tatars, they are temporary threat. So that's what was taking place. Now, Okitai, he did not last long in rulership. And in year 640, that's the end of the slide here, in year 640, I actually made a mistake, and alhamdulillah there are the notes. I need to be reminded. I said that in year 622, this is the last Khalifa. Actually, this is the one before the last Khalifa. Okay, in year 640, from year 622 until year 640, that's the Khalifa, and then from year 640 until year 656. Okay, we have Al-Mustansir, the one who died, and the last one is Al-Mustasim. Al-Mustasim. That's the one, the last one. His name is Al-Mustasim. I think I said earlier Al-Mustasim, but he was Al-Mustansir. This one is Al-Mustasim, from year 640 until year 656. Now, do these names mean anything to you? Do you remember anything? Earlier, for the early Abbasi Khulafa, what were their names? Al-Mu'tasim, Al-Muntasir. Now, Al-Mustasim, Al-Mustansir. Okay, they stick to the name, but they add something to it. And they say, they tell you the adding, the addition to the name means addition to the meaning. But what about personality-wise? Actually, it is less. Okay, the Al-Mustasim was no match for Al-Mu'tasim. For instance, Al-Mustansir lidinillah was no match for Al-Muntasir lidinillah, and so on and so forth. So anyways, now, year 639, We said in year 640, the Khalifa died. Okay, as I told you, now we have lots of dates. And they are all mentioned. In year 640, the Khalifa died. In year 639, also the Khan passed away. Now, what's the name of the Khan who passed away? Okitai. He is number what? Number two. Now we have another Khan. What's his name? Duke. In Arabic, we call him Duke. I don't know in English, what do you call him? This Khan, Duke, again he decided to do what the previous Khan did. He decided to stop everything. Stop all the attacks. Stop all the attacks and regroup. And subhanAllah, as if someone telling you, take the opportunity, seize the chance. It's your time now, when they stop, to take advantage of that, to strengthen yourself. But where were Muslims at that time? It's totally forgotten. Absolutely. As I told you, from year 640 until year 649, there is no mentioning whatsoever for the developments in Iraq. Even when you read Ibn Kathir's book, rahimahullah, you know what he mentions? The death of this man in Baghdad. He was well known, prominent merchant or student of knowledge. Or this incident took place. He doesn't talk at all about what happened to Naysabur? What happened to the Muslims there? What happened to Khurasan? What? Nothing. It's all gone. It's not mentioned as if it is a reality. So this Khan now, who ruled only for 7 years, we said it's year now, year 639, plus 7 years, 646. These 7 years were stretched in the life of the Khilafah. It was like a free gift. Duke decided to stop everything. Everything. And that's why in those years there is no mentioning. The only mentioning we have is for the campaigns and the crusaders of Louis against Egypt. That area, there is nothing. After Duke, we have now the fourth Khan. The fourth Khan, and on his hands, the Khilafah fell. The Abbasid Khilafah fell, and Baghdad fell at the hands of this Khan. His name is Menko. Menko Khan. Okay? He was elected as the Khan, the great Khan. So, keep track. We have Genghis Khan from year 603 until year 624. Then from year 624 until year 639, we have Okitai. From year 639 until year 646, we have Duke. Duke was sort of peaceful, but he was strengthening, and actually that hastened the fall of other nations later. You will see that. Then we have Menko Khan. Menko Khan, he dispatched three leaders. Three leaders with a certain mission. Invading the entire world. The entire world. He assigned for every leader a specific region. And the region of Iraq was under the rulership of Hulaku. Hulaku is the one who occupied Baghdad, but Hulaku was not the Khan. Who was the Khan at that time? Menko. Menko Khan. Hulaku was only the general of the army. Menko was the ruler. So he told Hulaku to go ahead and invade Baghdad. Hulaku, as the military leader, did he go straight and invade Baghdad? We're talking about what year? What year we are in? 6:49. You know, guys, I'm still slowing down actually, because the first session and two sessions, if you noticed, we went quickly. Now I'm slowing down because I'm noticing now the dates and the names, they got mixed up. Year 649. What year the Khilafah fell? What year Baghdad was occupied? 656. How many years we have? 7 years. Now, does it really take 7 years? We mentioned earlier that when the Khalifa feared occupation, how many soldiers were prepared? 800. It's nothing. So why now Hulaku was waiting? And that's why we really need to study every single point. Because you have to respect an opponent, an enemy, that knows what he's doing. You see, after year 2008, after the attack against Gaza, there was a committee established in Israel to discuss the failure. They considered that war failure for the Israeli army. Wallahi, you have to respect that. A nation that learns from its mistakes, that is a nation that should be respected. So are we doing that, or we are the guys who say every time everything is fine? Hulaku took 7 years in preparation. Fierce preparation to occupy Baghdad. Now, if you look at the distance between Qurra Qurm and Baghdad, how far is it? Roughly over, easily over 10,000 kilometers, right? Now, that is the center in Qurra Qurm. There are other cities, but that is the center where most of the army will come. Now, how to guarantee that you can go ahead with your mission without any interruptions? Look at the preparation of Hulaku. Hulaku worked mainly on three different fronts, or three different aspects. The internal one, yes. What? Genghis Khan. No, that was only temporary time. Omar is asking about Genghis Khan. Did he stay in Samarkand? He stayed for a time. Then after him, all the leaders, they went back. Qurra Qurm was the center, the capital for the Mongols. That's where all the decisions were made. That's where all the armies were dispatched. Yes. Actually, okay, you know what? Let's stop here. Let's give you a few minutes for questions, and inshallah, we'll continue after the prayer. Go ahead. What is the significance? Baghdad, first of all, it was the largest city in the world. Largest city means what? Most populated city. Most resources. Money. You're talking about treasures of strongest country at one time. So that was, and another thing, as an enemy, you see that there is an opponent in the name of Khilafah, even if it was not real, only a name, you want to break it. There was nothing in the world at that time. These were the ages of darkness in Europe. Was there any prominent leader? No. They were kingdoms separated and countries. But the Khilafah, it had a huge name. Khilafah al-Abbasiyyah. That was established from the year 132. It was the target. Not only of the Tatars, but of everybody, even the Crusaders. But the Crusaders, they had no way to come to Baghdad, because it was surrounded by Muslim land. So that's why even the Crusaders, they went time after time to encourage the Tatars and to offer their help for them. Any other questions? Yes. From year 639 until 646.
That was one
war for Duke.
And the next one said it was 649.
Yeah.
What happened in the year between?
Between what? 639
and 646. 646
and
649.
Well, as I told you, there were three leaders dispatched of the Tatar army. Those three leaders, we have Ariq Buqa. Ariq Buqa, he was in the Central Asia. And then there was another one for Europe, and then we have Hulaku. His mission is to break and destroy the Khilafah. So that was roughly what happened. There was nothing, no much development. Yes. No, 649. Yeah. Well, okay. Now, that's your question also. Like from year 646 until year 649, those 3 years, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. If you read in the history of the Mongols, at that period of time, even the selection of Menko went through a lot of deliberation. And subhanAllah, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time there are new leaders and many leaders, there will be some fighting. There will be some fighting. Now, there was some opposition for Menko. Why? Because he's the first one to be accused of being Christian. Why is that? He was married from Christian. From the first invasion to Europe, there were many women that came, and there was influence. Also, now, Okitai, he had his son, Gyuk, after him, ruling. Right? There was a woman in the palace of the Khans that wanted her son to rule. So all these, again, I did not mention any of these because they are not really relevant to our study of the Islamic Abbasid Khilafah and history, but there was some kind of turmoil of unrest in Mongolia. That is one of the things that took place, so that's why there is no mentioning between 646 and 649. Any other questions? Should we go for the prayer?
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.